Hey, welcome back to another episode of Taking Stock Live. I'm Kalila Reynolds, and yes, I'm back. I know you guys miss me, but I know that Al did a great job last week as well. As usual, let me know where you're joining from. Let me know in the chat what part of Jamaica, what part of the world, what part of anywhere you're joining us from this evening. I want to know, because I know we have international viewers. Taking Stock is worldwide. We global out here. Tonight, we have another great show coming up, just as usual. So, of course, let's get this money.
Massey Group is looking to the U.S. to expand its global reach. What else does the company have in store? Chief Financial Officer James McClatchy will join us to discuss the company's expansion plans. And the analysts weigh in on the latest market developments. How have the main and junior markets performed since the start of 2024? And what can investors expect for the rest of the year? We'll discuss. But first, here's What's Hot, brought to you by JMMB Group, your best interest at heart. Sagicor Investments says it's ready to defend itself in court over its decision to place digital media company iCreate in receivership. According to iCreate CEO Tyrone Wilson, the company was severely impacted by being wrongfully placed into receivership. Wilson said the company will be seeking damages from Sagicor in court. iCreate was placed in receivership by Sagicor Investments on December 18 for outstanding payments on a bond. Sagicor has since confirmed that the debt has been settled and that the receivership has been withdrawn. Sagicor said it is confident in the legality of its actions and will vigorously defend any litigation on the matter. Egypt, Ethiopia, Iran, Saudi Arabia, and the United Arab Emirates have all confirmed that they will be joining the BRICS bloc. The countries were invited to join last year, and their acceptance was announced by South Africa's foreign minister last week. Argentina declined the invitation to join. The aim of the economic bloc, which currently comprises Brazil, Russia, China, India, and South Africa, is to become the next G7. Guyana has announced a historic $1 trillion national budget for 2024. According to the government, the country plans to spend 1.1 trillion Guyanese dollars on development this year. That's about $5.5 billion. The 2024 budget is almost double the 2023 budget of 781 billion Guyanese dollars. Around 29% of the budget is being funded by the nation's increasing oil income. The government said it is emphasizing building out transport infrastructure as well as schools, hospitals, and energy plants. Tech giant Apple officially launched its Vision Pro virtual reality headset in the United States on Friday. Vision Pro gives users access to over 600 apps and games and is specifically designed to provide a virtual reality experience. Apple CEO Tim Cook described the headset as tomorrow's technology today. Apple said that customers who pre-ordered the $3,500 headset will begin receiving them in the mail or can pick them up at Apple Store locations.
What's Hot was brought to you by JMMB Group, your best interest at heart.
What do the world's richest people all have in common? I'll give you the top five from the Forbes Rich List and let's see if you can figure it out. Number one is Bernard Arnault, founder of LVMH, Louis Vuitton, Moet Hennessy. Number two, Elon Musk, co-founder of Tesla and SpaceX. Three is Jeff Bezos, founder of Amazon. Four, Larry Ellison, co-founder of tech giant Oracle. And number five is Warren Buffett, founder of Berkshire Hathaway. So it should be pretty obvious, right? They all founded or co-founded major companies. They're all entrepreneurs. Jeff Bezos famously founded Amazon out of his garage in 1994. Elon Musk has co-founded six companies, including Tesla. Warren Buffett is perhaps the world's most famous investor, but he also founded the investment firm Berkshire Hathaway. So without a doubt, entrepreneurship is one of the major keys to wealth creation. For the world's richest man, Bernard Arnault, this also means generational wealth. All five of his children work at LVMH. Now, if this is what you envision for yourself, your first step is simply to get started. Bring that business idea to reality with Business Startup Basics. In this Money Mission webinar, corporate attorney and business accelerator Chantel Simpson tells you everything you need to know to set up your business legally. Now, you already missed the live, but the replay is now available. The link is in the description. Let's get this money.
This segment of Taking Stock is brought to you by Bulwark Insurance Agency, insurance made easy.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Shout out to the viewers there on Instagram, because we're now streaming live on Instagram. You know how long I've been trying to figure out how to get everything to stream to Instagram and also TikTok. So TikTok's the only one left now to be able to seamlessly convert between YouTube, Facebook, Instagram. TikTok is the only one. We soon sort it out, yeah? But shout out to everybody on Instagram. I see we have, 49 viewers on IG? That's awesome. Who's on? Key. All right. It's a lot to go through, so I can't shout them out right now. But I see some people in the comments already from all over the world. I see Jermaine says, traveling this week, so hello from Malaysia. All the way from Malaysia. Wow. Patrice is there in Westmoreland. We have Drave checking in from Mandeville. We have, who else we have? Roy in Florida. Damar in Kingston. Orville is in Spanish Town. Dwight is also in Spanish Town. Javon says, good night, fellow investors. How is this dividend drought treating you? Hope you're stocking up on this quarter's dividend payments. And then we also have Nano Sense, who says, see, yep, I warned you guys about Massey. They're a beast. I was in St. Lucia last week, and Massey is everywhere. Every turn you turn, there is a Massey store. So here in Jamaica, you might not be as familiar with the brand, but out in the Eastern Caribbean, Massey is a force to be reckoned with. And they also have an investment holding company based in Trinidad and Tobago, Massey Holdings. And that particular division is eyeing U.S. markets to expand their global reach. So this evening, we have Chief Financial Officer James McCletchy, who's joining me now to discuss the company's expansion plans. Hi, James.
Hi, Khalila. Thanks for having me.
It is great to have you on. We've never had Massey on Taking Stock before, so I appreciate you making the time, especially at such short notice.
No problem at all.
Awesome. All right. So first, let's distinguish, because like I said, in the Eastern Caribbean, Massey is a household name. You are on every corner. But just distinguish Massey Distributors from Massey Holdings and what the difference is and who you are, what you do.
So Massey as Holdings is actually the IHC, the investment holding company that sits over three businesses, what we call three portfolios. So one portfolio is our integrated retail business. So that's what you saw in St. Lucia. You'll see it in Barbados. You see it in Trinidad and Guyana. And it's split into a retail food and pharmaceutical retail business, but also the distribution business. So what you've got in Jamaica is just the distribution business. That's why most people don't realize that we're actually there in food and pharmaceuticals. But we're there in Jamaica.
Right.
The second element is a gas product business. So you would have heard that we made a huge investment last year, almost $150 million in IGL. Plus we have Gaspro there. So we've got a huge gas business, and that's another one of the big portfolios that we have. We're very present in Jamaica, but it's not consumer facing. So once again, you know, Jamaicans may not know that Massey's there. And the third division is a motors and machines business. And we have huge automobile dealerships and then machinery around Caterpillar, for example. And we exist in Guyana, in Trinidad, in Colombia as well. So these three kind of portfolios are kind of core to what we do. And we coordinate and support those through growth and capital markets and M&A through what we call our investment holding company.
Okay, so the investment holding company basically invests in all the other segments of the company.
Yeah, we are 100% owners of the three businesses. And a bit of the evolution is we used to be what I call your traditional conglomerate, you know, with 20 businesses. And while they are scale in the Caribbean, when you start becoming a big size and you want to go outside of the Caribbean, some of those smaller ones don't have enough scale to really grow when you get to the US and Latin America. So what we did is we looked at, you know, the 20 plus companies. We said, what are the three real core platforms or portfolios that we really know well? And these are the three I just mentioned. So what we did after that is we basically sold off what we call our tail, things that we're not core at, and created $300 million of cash. We've essentially done a strategic swap to buy other companies that are tied to those three platforms. And therefore, what you do is you create scale in three specific businesses that you know very well. And that allows you to have scale. So when you go internationally, for example, in the US, you actually have enough scale to grow.
You just said 300 million US, like it's just a little change, a little 300 million US. I need our viewers to understand how massive Massey is in the region. So give us a little bit of your dollars and cents, your performance. Let's look at last year, for example. What type of revenue numbers are we looking at?
At the upper revenue. So for example, in total, the group had $2.3 billion in revenue.
$2.3 billion.
Correct. If you take your phone and you convert it to Jamaican, there's not enough space on that, on your iPhone, to put it sideways, because I tried it when I was in Jamaica. So it gives you the kind of scale that we are. And in terms of profit, you know, $187 million in profit. And that's up in 2023, just around 26% over the prior year. So the way I would describe the performance is not just size and scale. If you look at the history of Massey, there's significant resilience and strength in the business. And by focusing on these three portfolios, we strongly believe we have three cash generative businesses, three solid businesses that allow us to be resilient and weather difficult times.
Absolutely. I see where the gas products also aided in a lot of profits from the company. Can you tell us more about that division?
Yeah, absolutely. So our gas products business is, just to be clear, it's essentially kind of industrial gases. So you think and medical gases. So if you think of oxygen, you think of nitrogen, you think of the carbon dioxide that you see in your sodas. And that business alone, the gas businesses, is about, I think, $1.8 billion. So just around 40 billion Jamaican dollars. So it's a big business. The investment in Jamaica last year is our largest acquisition. You know, $150 million is a huge commitment to Jamaica. And we were very excited to do that last year.
So talk to me about the United States now. That's where you're looking for further expansion. Before you get to US, so how many territories are you in now? You might have mentioned it earlier.
Yeah, eight countries. We're in eight countries, and those include, obviously, Trinidad and Guyana, where we've been for quite a while, Eastern Caribbean, Barbados, and Jamaica. But also, we're in Colombia, and we've been in the US for a while, but we made an acquisition last year into a grocery chain. So we've kind of set up our presence there even further.
All right, so United States and Latin America, tell us more.
Well, you quickly outgrow kind of local markets, and as we look to diversification, and diversification not just of the business, but of risk, of currency risk, and business operations, we were already in the US, and that we continue to scan the market, and not just the US actually, we're scanning globally. And we're looking for the right opportunity. We're quite disciplined about where we deploy capital, because there are things that we know we can do well, and we can own and deliver the Massey, what I call the Massey secret sauce on it. But not everything we're good at, and we know what not to buy. So we're in one of these, in kind of, we continue to search for opportunities. We found a great opportunity in the US, and that was in a grocery chain. So we bought seven supermarkets there. And the opportunity exists for, as we continue to look for other businesses, not just in our retail business, but in the other portfolios, are there opportunities again in the US? You know, the opportunity in the US is the market is so huge. And for us, as a relatively smaller business, what you get is micro markets where there's huge opportunities for us to pick up micro markets. And six or seven groceries may not be huge for a big US retail outlet, but for us, it's pretty big. And yeah. when you add 7 plus 7 plus 7, it grows pretty quickly.
Yeah, when you just say, we just bought 7 supermarkets in the US, like it's nothing. For us, it's a pretty big deal here in this region.
It
Where
is.
Where in the United States are these supermarkets?
Yeah, so the first venture was in Florida. So we're in kind of northern Florida, not in Miami. We have a distribution center down there. But the retail grocery chain we bought was in Jacksonville, Florida.
And are the stores branded Massey?
No, they're not. So one of the things we in terms of how we look at integration, we kind of look at where the value is, and that Rose had a very strong brand recognition in the community. So Massey's not known yet. So for now, we thought it was a good kind of a prudent and the right kind of economic decision that to respect the brand and respect the community in which we moved into. So for that reason, we've kept the branding. Now, in the future, you know, you might say it's you know, IG Rose as a member or a member of the Massey Group. But for now, we thought we would leave it the way it is.
Are you targeting like Caribbean diaspora in the United States, especially since you're in Florida?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of an ethnic neighborhood and ethnic population. So it covers a bit of diaspora, but also covers a bit of the Latin American diaspora. And what we know well to do is, once again, is what they might consider smaller, but in our markets are big, but they're smaller, complex businesses that maybe the big players don't go after, but we know how to run those things well. So it tends to land into kind of an ethnic neighborhood and an ethnic market. And that's kind of where we found that opportunity. Now, as we look for other opportunities, it may not be there, but we are crystal clear on the type and profile of asset that we would be a good owner for in terms of the people and the opportunities in terms of value. And those are the targets that we go after.
Where are you looking? Still in Florida or elsewhere in the US?
Kalia, that's a good question, because I've got to, as you would know, it's a lot of this stuff is right. As we continue to explore, we can't go public with things that we're looking at, but I would say this, we are looking, we continue to look at some stuff in the US. We are focused in areas that are micro markets and might be fairly close to the existing, what I would call the platform that we've now established there in Florida.
So Stronglink, one of our viewers, one of our regulars, says, I know nothing, you can compete with Publix.
I love the ambition. I love the ambition. And I think that's the whole thing. We have a Caribbean heart. We will always be a Caribbean business, but we found out that we can actually export this capability internationally and do well. So I'm with you. Maybe we can try to take on a little bit of Publix.
Gravity Entertainment says, where's the comment? Where did it go? Well, Christopher says Miami is the spot. And then Gravity says Brooklyn would be a good market. I think similar. There's a very diverse and a very ethnic, very Caribbean population in somewhere like Brooklyn.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I already said you can't tell us where.
Yeah, I lived in New York for a long time. So it was always down in Brooklyn to get doubles and roti and everything you need. Mm-hmm, so I fully agree.
Somebody else says Africa would be a good market.
And I'll tell you, one of our portfolios has explored, I've been to Africa to look at some unique opportunities there. So I go back to, we are quite disciplined and clear on the profile of the assets that we think we do well, and we are looking for them. And if the right opportunities is in Africa, we'll go there as well. But these things require a lot of hard work, a lot of diligence, a lot of understanding of risk, because one thing we want to explore opportunity, but we want to take that within a particular risk profile.
So when you say Latin America, though, eyeing for expansion, Latin America is very, very broad. That's very, very vague. It's where in Latin America? I know you don't want to give away too much, but what can you tell us?
But I can tell you where we are. We acquired into Colombia many years ago. That's been hugely successful. Once again, a market that we, and primarily we have a gas business there, and then a motors business there. So we've gone into there. We're looking at other markets up or down the kind of Latin America corridor. So I think we've got two things that we're looking at, but it's really early days, very, very early days.
What about Dominican Republic? It's right there.
It is. And you're going through every country, and I'm finding hard to dodge the obvious. But once again, I think we'll look at it, and I'll actually go straight to something that I think you might ask, which is, you know, are we going to be in Jamaica in terms of kind of retail?
Retail, yeah, yes. Yeah. That's actually the next question.
So we continue to look in Jamaica, not just for retail groceries, but also for motors. But I'll tell you, the Jamaican market is quite competitive and quite sophisticated. And what we do know is we can't enter Jamaica unprepared or not ready to appear in a strong way. So as we look at opportunities there, we have to find the right one that allows us to really land and do very well and do right by the competition. I mean, competition is great, and we respect the competition that is already there, but we continue to look at opportunities there as well.
Nigel wants to know, how is Massey's Colombian business going?
Yeah, we, as you would have picked up from the last quarter, they've had some challenges, as you would see broadly in globally, you know, high interest rates, significant inflation, and that obviously is tempering demand. So we continue to watch that business and watch that market. And the benefit of having a large kind of IHC that's diversified geographically is that when one is facing challenges, what you tend to find is others kind of compensate for that. So you get a natural hedging facility. And for the group, which is kind of where you buy the stock in the overall group, you get that diversified portfolio that allows you to kind of withstand some of the challenges that you might see in another market. But it's facing the same type of challenges that kind of the rest of the world is facing, including Jamaica. We keep our eyes closely on it, and we continue to be present and invest in that market.
It's been about, is it a year or is it more than, it's probably like close to 2 years now since you cross-listed on the Jamaica Stock Exchange. Yeah. What was that experience like, you know, coming into this market in terms of the stock market?
Yeah. So, you know, I was in Jamaica 2 weeks ago for the Jamaica Stock Exchange week, and I thought that was truly insightful. And a bit of context too, is I left Trinidad 25 years ago, and Massey's vision and ambition is what got me back. So I wasn't here when we listed, when we crossed this in Jamaica, but while I was in Jamaica, and prior to that, I understood why we did this. And it's an exciting market to be in, a very exciting. And part of the stuff that you're doing, Kalila, the level of, I would say, financial and investing savviness is extremely high. What has happened is the first year, I think, was challenging for us. But if we looked at the 12 months ending September 2023, our stock was up, I want to say, it was about 17%, while the index had a bit of a challenge. So for that reason, I think we started off with a bit of a challenge as we cross-listed and there was a couple of people taking arbitrage. But I think as we settled into, you saw some appreciation for the value in the stock. Now, what I would say is that the intention is to be there in Jamaica once a quarter to have shows like this and meet with other investors so people understand the Massey story. Because part of what it is that we have not been as present. And what we don't have in Jamaica is, like you said, in Solutia, people see Massey.
Right.
You don't really see it in Jamaica. So you don't know what it is, you know, and we have to come and talk about it and explain what Massey is, what our ambition is, and why it's a good stock to be a part of.
Right, getting that visibility, that brand visibility here in Jamaica. Now, I have a viewer, I'm going to take this one from Instagram because I haven't taken a question from Instagram yet. And this one, Ruddy wants to know, what is the focus of the company? Is it to make money or is it to serve a type of community with quality food?
That is a brilliant, brilliant question. We at Massey strongly believe that we can grow, we can be profitable, but doing the right thing, being good to our communities, being good to the people that work, not just our employees, but the people who work with us. And we believe actually that there's value to that when you export it. So I'll give you a good example. When we went to Colombia, Colombians like nice people too. They like to be part of a kind of a family company. And that's what we saw in Colombia. When we went to the US, we saw the same thing. So Massey at its heart is a Caribbean company. We believe in that Caribbean heart. And we believe in our commitment to the communities and the societies that we operate in. So part of kind of the way we do business, including the cost of how we do business, embedded in there is investment, strong investment in the communities. So it's not just about profit. The thing that we believe is that you can be profitable and be good. And when you get bigger, that impact on the community positively can be higher. And that's what drives not just the leadership and the board. It drives everybody in Massey.
Well, speaking of profit, because you said it did make, what, 130 million US in profit last year. Yep. Naturally, the question comes about dividends. And we have Roger saying that Massey needs to pay more dividends. Investors in Jamaica love that dividend flow. So what is the dividend policy for Massey?
No, I think if you look back at Massey, not just the 2 years or the 3 years, but look back at Massey for the last 10 years, what you will see is reliability of dividends. Reliability of growing dividends, right? There's always a inherent conflict or challenge where you're trying to grow and you have opportunities to add growth and create more value and return that value to the, as I said, community, society, employees, and shareholders. So there's this natural conflict that we try to balance, but we have consistently paid dividends and consistently kind of increased that dividend payout. And even during COVID, and we will continue to do that. So if you think of Massey as resilient, stable, and strength in dividend, that's kind of how I would think of the investment.
Daniel, I'm sure you expect somebody to come up with this question. Daniel wanted to address the corporate governance issues recently brought up in the TT media. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you know what he's talking about.
Absolutely no, and it's a challenging question to answer that doesn't sound like a couple, but the one thing is quite in public, it's in the public press now, is that obviously the board is taking this thing seriously. There is a public investigation into it, and for that reason I can't get into more detail about it, but I will say that the board is taking it extremely seriously, because governance is actually very, very important to how we grow and how we operate as an organization.
Because it kind of came across as if you were punishing the whistleblower.
Yeah, and once again, I have to be very careful, because the investigation is currently in process. So for that reason, I can't comment even further on it. But there's no intention to do that whatsoever. Yeah,
we leave that at that, because that's not what the discussion is about, but it's the elephant in the room and I had to ask it. Yeah. Next question comes from Lanesra, who wants to know if you're thinking of listing on the U.S. Stock Exchange.
Kalia, I love the questions coming in. I'll say this. I'd say we believe that we have a particular capability to create value, and with that, and it's exportable value. So we can go into other markets and crack the Massey engine and create value in a very positive way that affects our communities and our employees. For that reason, we are quite open-minded about where we source capital. Right now, we have not explored or decided to go into the U.S. stock exchange, but who knows? As we continue to demonstrate that we are a good, sound investment for investors, that may be something that international investors get excited about. And for a Caribbean company to be able to do that, that would be very excited. But right now, I would say that we continue to tell or fine-tune our capital market story and explore, I'd say, creative ways and open ways to source capital to fuel our growth.
Mm. Well, thank you so much for joining us, James. I really appreciate it. Anything else that you wanted to leave with us this evening?
No, I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you and your listeners. So thanks for having us. And when I'm in Jamaica again, I'm happy to talk again about why we believe we're such a force for good.
Absolutely. I'm sorry we missed each other at the investor conference the other day.
Always the next time.
Next time, yes. All right. Thanks to James McClatchy from Massey. Right now, it's time for tonight's poll question. And this is a fun one. Do you think the recent Bob Marley biopic will give more exposure to creatives in Jamaica? So you have all the actors and all the filmmakers, all the people who, you know, did the extras, the music scene. So here are your options. I feel like this is an easy one. Yes, it definitely will. No, I think this will all die down. See, it might with the right push or support behind initiatives like these. Or other, leave a comment. Do you think that the recent Bob Marley biopic will give more exposure to creatives in Jamaica? Let us know in the comments. Also, by taking the poll on the community tab of our YouTube channel, as well as on Twitter, or the app formerly known as Twitter, now known as X. So yesterday, in our Money Mission community, we had Money Mentorship, which is where you get to, you know, get group coaching from me. Here's a clip of how it went.
Where is it that you see an opportunity in that industry? Because there are a lot of people who do event planning and management. So what's the opportunity that you're seeing specifically?
In St. Catherine. I would start there, and then it would be more destination weddings. So on the North Coast, South Coast. More the South Coast, because the North Coast has a lot of persons that's doing that right now.
Ah, so when you say events, you're looking specifically at weddings?
No, not necessarily. Not necessarily.
But you do want to do weddings?
Yes, of course. It would be included in the catalog.
Okay. So St. Catherine and, is that South Coast?
South Coast, yeah.
All right. What I think you need to do, Kemisia, is narrow this down.
Okay. Because
there's a lot of stuff here. And yes, there's opportunity, but right now I think it's a lot too broad.
Okay.
For you to start, because you're looking at something and you're going to get overwhelmed as to where do you even start with all of this. And you're going to start thinking, oh, I need so much money because I need to hire all these people. And right. And then somebody want me to do their wedding and then this, and then you're scrambling all over the place. So people always say niche down. I would say pick your niche. And based on what you've told me, you have many great ideas already in this one, lumped up in this one big idea. So I would take one element of it and start there.
All right, remember to hit that like button, guys. Up next, we've got your market recap and the analysts are standing by.
This segment of Taking Stock was brought to you by Bulwark Insurance Agency. Insurance made easy.
Hey, moneymakers, join the KRM fam with our official merch. Get it now at KalilaReynolds.com. Let's get this money.
The JC Combined Index started the year off on a high note, gaining over 2,000 points in January. 129 stocks traded across the main and junior markets for the month. 60 made gains, 64 lost value, and 5 stayed the same. 485 million shares changed hands on the Jamaican dollar market, valued at $3.3 billion. Now here's a look at some of the highlights for January. The main index gained 1% last month, while the junior and financial markets were down 1%. But the manufacturing and distribution index gained 3%. Week 10 was January's most traded stock. It took up 17% of market volume, with 86 million shares changing hands. The stock opened February at 92 cents. Trans-Jamaican Highway was the month's second most traded stock. The stock gained 54 cents to open the new month at $3.25. And JMMB 9.5% rounded out January's most traded. The stock's price lost 2 cents to open February at $1.01. Now let's see who had the biggest gains for the month. 138 Student Living Variable Preference soared almost 78% to open February at $203.29. Siboney had the second biggest jump of the month, closing at $1.56. And MFS Capital Partners was January's third biggest gainer. The stock was up 39%, starting February at $2.70. On the losing side now, Radio Jamaica was last month's biggest loser. It lost 27% to open the new month at $1.42. ISP Finance fell 25% to open February at $21.76. And the lab rounded out the month's biggest losers. The stock fell 23%, closing the month at $1.33. Over on the Trinidad and Tobago Stock Exchange, the composite index lost 22 points or 2% last month. Massey was the most traded stock of the month. It gained 3 cents to open February at $4.41 TT. Endeavor Holdings was the biggest gainer, up 12%. It opened the new month at $14.75 TT. And on the losing side, Angostura Holdings fell 21% to open February at $17.25 TT. It was also a positive start to the year in the US, with the Dow Jones gaining 3% in January, the S&P 500 gaining almost 6%, and the Nasdaq up almost 8%. At the pumps, gas prices rose 75 cents in January, while the cost of regular diesel increased by $5.28 for the month, and low sulfur diesel went up $4.42. In foreign exchange, overall the Jamaican dollar weakened in January, losing $1.19 against the US dollar to close the month at an average $156.42 to 1 US. Meanwhile, the JMD was unchanged against the Canadian dollar, but weakened against the pound and euro. Finally, on the crypto markets, Bitcoin prices fell 3% over the last 30 days, trading at $42,641 US on Monday, and Ethereum was up 1%, trading at $2,290 US on Monday.
This segment of Taking Stock, The Analyst, is brought to you by JMMB Group, your best interest at heart. Disclaimer: this is not intended as financial advice. Please consult a licensed financial advisor before making investment decisions.
Welcome back. It's time now for The Analyst. I'm joined today by Leovani Dillon, investment research and sovereign risk analyst at JMMB. Welcome back, Leo.
Hello. Good night, Khalilah. Good night, Leo.
So tonight we're talking about performance since the start of 2024, because we're about a month and a few days into 2024. We've come off a bad year for the stock market in 2023. Please tell us that we have some good news for 2024. What's it looking like so far?
Yeah, man. All right. So I see the take a while ago went through some of the performance for the year so far. So I'm just going to share my screen and just go through some of the numbers for the year so far. So what are we looking at? All right. So first, started out to the junior market, right? So zoom in a bit here. So what you can see for the junior market in particular, we're down about 0.89% for the year. So not the best year, especially compared to some prior years. So you'd have to go back to 2020 to see a bad January for the junior market. So, I mean, you know, down marginally, not so bad, not the greatest, but not so bad for the year. All right, now let's move on now to the main market. Now with the main market, we are seeing some positive movement. So the main market, now that started out the year up 0.85%. So that's way better than previous year. So 2023, that was down 4% in January. So you'd have to, you know, and then 2020, not as
which one of these numbers are we looking at? I'm confused.
Oh, sorry.
Numbers on the screen.
Oh, sorry, right here. I'm not sure if you can see the hand along this column here.
Where's your clicker? I can't see where your clicker is.
Oh, you're not seeing it. I guess it's too small.
Oh, yeah, right. I see it now.
Yeah, all right. So zoom in. All right. So zoom in. Well, very aggressive in here. All right. So what you're looking at here, all right. So you're looking at January performance. So what you're seeing here is that we started the year positive. Now we compared to 2023, that was very negative. 2022, that was, you know, better than this year, but still. And then you'd have to go back several years. January is negative. So all things considered, this January, not so bad, right? So now when you look at the combined market again, now the January column here, you can see a similar pattern of performance. So that's not bad in terms of a good start in January. Now, February just started. Well, February has been very good for the combined market, up 1.6%. So that's very good. Now, interestingly, you know, when you look on the main market, right, what you're realizing is that going over the last 10 trading sessions, right, so what we're looking at here is like a bar chart that's showing, you know, when it's above the zero line, is showing when the main market has had a positive performance, right? So for example, this bar chart here will be showing a negative performance in the market at this stage. So over those 10 last last 10 trading sessions, what you're realizing is that the market has been positive 9 out of those 10 trading sessions. So basically, the market has been really on like a tear since that tail end of January, going into February. Of course, we just started February, but it's not doing, it's doing pretty well on the main market side. Now,
all things somebody, considered, right?
All things considered. Now, the point that I'm trying to highlight here is when you're looking on the market and the broader context, what you're seeing is that, yes, it's not, you know, it's not bad. So January was positive on the combined. February just started. That's also very positive. But when you look underneath the and see some of the performance, so as you just, you know, highlighted earlier, you saw some strong performances for the year. But I'm going to touch on two of them in particular. So one of them first, Wigtown, right? So Wigtown is up 17% for the year. That's drastically outperforming the main market. So year to date, main market's up 2.6%, right? So that's doing very well. Now, what you're seeing with Wigtown, when you're
17%, almost 18%, nice.
Almost 18%. Not bad for, you know, barely starting off the year, not a bad start at all, right? Now, zooming out a bit, what we're seeing Wigtown trading around 90 cents now. Now, there are several points in history that Wigtown has seen those levels. So Wigtown listed back in 2019, right? Now, it ran up earlier to in excess of $1. You can see that over here on the chart. I don't know if the viewers can see the arrow over here on the chart. They fell off, came back above the $90 mark. Sorry, it's been a while. Did so again in about mid-2023, and then now early 2024, you're seeing a similar pattern. It's getting above that 90 cents mark again. Now, the challenge here when you're just looking at these performances is that we've been here before. Now, what we've seen from Wigtown is that Wigtown is doing a lot to try and boost profitability. If you look on the annual performance, Wigtown's year end is March. But when you look on their, you know, financial year performance, there is some volatility in those numbers. Different things, you know, win availability, changes in expenses in terms of staff, like finance costs. And so there's volatility in the numbers, and it's kind of borne out in the stock price. You've seen them do some investments. So there was a recent announcement about some joint venture that they're doing in terms of supplying some solar panels and building out some infrastructure. So there's different things in the media that's probably helping to boost them in terms of, you know, that sometimes when you have these announcements, it can drive investor sentiment. But interestingly, what's happening right now is that earnings season is around the corner. So of course, earnings season for a lot of these companies is going to be mid-February going into like early March. So mid-February, if your year end is not December, chances are you're going to be reporting mid-February. So as you can understand, most companies report 45 days after the year end, after the start of quarter ends, 60 days after the year ends. So there's a lot of companies that don't have their year end in December. So those companies know you're going to see a further earnings coming in February. So we see Wigtown is going to be one of those, got their year end, as I said before, is March. And then, so we're going to get more color around whether or not this rally is justified in terms of how the performance is and how the outlook is looking, right? So that's all we got for Wigtown. Another big performer is Trans-Jamaica. Now, of course, and I think you'd highlighted this again, is that Trans-Jamaica performed well in 2023. It was one of the best performers, up over 92%. And it's starting off 2024, with a bang, up 21%. Again, drastically outperforming the main market. It's doing very well. Interestingly, too, it's doing it on volume. So if you look on the volume, so what I tend to look at is not necessarily the volume traded in terms of the amount of units, but the value, meaning like the amount of money. Reason being is that, as you can understand, if a million units of Wigtown trades, which is 90 cents, is not the same as a million units of NCB, which is currently at $60. So one is, you know, about $1 million less. One is going to be 60 plus million, even though the number of units trading hands is the same, the dollar value is significantly different, right? So I tend to look on the dollar value in order to kind of normalize all the numbers. So what you look at when you look on Trans-Jamaica, what you're seeing is that is well over $8 million. Of course, 2024 is still young, but the average daily volume is looking at that, which is higher than the previous years. So there's a lot of activity in this rally. So it's not really a shallow rally, because sometimes you can have stocks rallying on like very thin volume. But what you're seeing with this rally is that there's a lot of volume trading hands in it, which says that persons, they're very confident, for lack of a better word, in terms of the performance. So that is it for the presentation. So I think overall, what we're seeing is that, point that I'm getting at is that while the overall market sometimes might be not looking that exciting, there's a lot that can be happening underneath the hood, basically when you're looking at the different companies that makes up the market that can be, you know, some attractive opportunities, whether it be opportunities to probably take profits, whether it be opportunities, you know, to get into different names. There's a lot that happens on a day-to-day. It just might not show up at the index level. So you might see the market down 8% for the year, for argument's sake. And, you know, you have key names that are up like 50, 80%. So there's basically always opportunities. So the key is to just kind of keep an eye out, you know, keep investing, even though, the overall market might not look so hot, still got opportunities. So, you know, look for those opportunities.
Yeah. I have a question from the audience here. LBW wants to know, do you think TJH's volume points to institutional traders buying up stock?
I mean, that volume, like 8 million plus, definitely, there's a high chance that institutions are a part of it to move that kind of volume, because retail investors, in general, retail investors, especially to get that average daily volume at that level, yeah, retail investors wouldn't be in the market with that kind of volume. I think like most retail investors wouldn't have that kind of money to spend, because again, unless they're running, you know, very concentrated positions, that would be difficult to do. Because you can understand, you know, if you have a, you know, even a $10 million portfolio, which would be, you know, fairly significant, if you put $8 million in one stock, that's very concentrated. But you know, for a institutional investor, you know, then putting even a $50 million position in a stock, that can be, you know, small, like 2-3%, even less of the portfolio. So the thing is, that does indicate that there's probably some institutional buyers in that mix. Yeah, so I think it's fair to say that there might be some, but of course, you don't really know for sure, you know, because when it's big enough, you can see, for example, in the top 10 shareholders change, and if you have access to the data, maybe the top 100, but it's difficult to say for sure, but I think there's a good chance that there's some institution.
But all in all, look out for the gems on the market. And so far, TJH and Wigton, the two government-listed ones, are doing quite well. But overall, too, so another question coming from LBW, not really a question, an observation, says, hoping BOJ trends down interest rates, probably won't happen this year because inflation is still trending up. Last I heard it was down, but who knows? What's the outlook on that point?
All right, so here's the thing. I've seen a lot of talk in the media about interest rates and impact on the market. That is by and large, higher interest rates does create frictions on the market. Because again, you know, it's just opportunity cost. You know, investors looking and saying, all right, I can get this on relatively low risk. I can get, you know, 8-9%. So, you know, view that attractive versus the market, especially when the market not really performing, it makes that choice even easier. So yeah, it is a fair point. That being said, though, I think particularly on the main market, I think there are some names that have been beaten down to a point where, despite the current interest rate environment, meaning interest rates being relatively high, you know, compared to the lows that they were at, granted historically it's actually not that bad, but relatively high compared to the recent lows. Because of that, you know, it creates friction. There's no denying that. But again, because some of the names have been beaten down so bad, I think there's some opportunities despite that. So, for example, if you look at some of the larger names that moved recently, if you look at Scotia, for example, I think that's up 20% year to date. February, again, just started. It's up big in February, trading on 45. A couple months ago, it traded as it was 30. That name in particular was trading like 6x earnings. At one point, probably trading a little bit below book value. Of course, it has dividends. And of course, the recent earnings are phenomenal because the structure of Scotia, they're going to be a huge beneficiary of high interest rates. huge beneficiary because of how their balance sheet is structured, the cash position and all of that. They're one of the biggest beneficiaries, right? They did very well because of the high interest rate environment, and then the stock, at least recently, definitely did very well. So yes, while I do agree that in the broader market context, it's going to be difficult to get, you know, a lot of movement in the market. It's possible, but it's going to be difficult. Again, there are gems in particular companies that actually can benefit from the high interest rate or not be as impacted by it. So for example, you know, like a food distributors that don't have a lot of debt. So that means they're not impacted by interest rates. And at the same time, because they're selling consumer staples, they can still generate and increase revenue, increase profitability. Those companies might be in a good position. But yeah, in general, high interest rates are going to be problematic for them in general. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks for those insights, Leo. You gave us a lot to think about here at the start of February, second month of the year. Yeah. Appreciate it.
Anything.
We'll see you again soon. Viewers, we shall be right back. We'll take our final break of the evening, and then I'll take your final comments. And there are quite a few that I want to go through.
This segment of Taking Stock, The Analysts, was brought to you by JMNB Group, your best interest at heart.
So today was the Build Your Budget workshop.
Can you imagine being in a room of like-minded people, over 10 heads, knocking together to help you to come up with solutions for your financial goals?
And how important it is to hold yourself accountable, which is what the group offers.
Encourage persons to come and be a part of Money Mission. Trust me, you will definitely learn a lot.
Let's get this money!
All right, so I see a few comments over on Instagram. I'm just so excited that we're actually on Instagram. Let me see if I can find it back. So we need to find a way that we can like bookmark comments on here and put them on screen as well to make it a little bit easier. Where is it? Somebody was asking about REITs on Instagram, asking what a REIT is. It stands for Real Estate Investment Trust, and it is, you know, a way for you to invest in real estate without having to go buy an entire building. So it's kind of like crowdfunding for real estate. In the United States, there is legislation governing REITs that require them to pay out 90% of their profits in the form of dividends. So typically, when you invest in a REIT, it's a good cash flowing, dividend paying type of investment. In Jamaica, that is not the law. But generally, that's how they tend to operate. They do tend to pay out a lot of dividends for the REIT type structures because we don't have any true REITs because we don't have any REIT legislation like they do in the US. But we do have companies that describe themselves as a REIT. And so these are types of companies that you can invest in properties by pooling your funds with other investors who are also investing in properties, and they make money through rentals, through buying and selling properties, and the various ways that you typically invest in properties. Let's take some comments now from YouTube and Facebook. Lanesra said, good advice. Thank you, Lanesra. That's for the Money Mission clip. LBW says, great companies doing great numbers have massive amounts of cash on hand, referring to Massey, and I think somebody else was pointing out with Cinco. Strongling said, Kyle, we'll chop off your hair for. Cha, let's get your hair back. Get used to the look because I feel like this is it. It's so easy. This is going to be it. I'm tired of dealing with hair. and I like the look personally. So, hey, learn to live with it, Strong Link. Strong Link again says, wow, I had a spin over 100 million US in profit. Nigel can use that in the next budget. Oh, boy. Who else do we have here? Russell says, weak investor sentiment, referring to Massey, but the group's fundamentals are very strong. It's definitely one of the blue chip companies. You don't, and I feel like part of the reason for that, when you said weak investor sentiment, it's because it's not really a household name here in Jamaica. But when you go Eastern Caribbean, everybody know Messi. Messi is on every street corner, everywhere you turn, there is another Messi. So I think if they do make that decision to become a substantial visible presence in Jamaica, that may very well change. Nana Sen says, for the revenue that they earn, that stock, again referring to Messi, should be trading in the 500s. I don't even know where they are now. Remember they did a stock split because they were at, I don't even remember how much it was supposed to be, the TT equivalent to the JMD. In order for them to list on our market, they had to do a stock split because people here aren't used to paying those prices for stocks. LBW says, Wisinko is a beast sitting on $10 billion in cash with exceptional growth in sales and profit, entering export and will benefit tremendously. I always like Wisinko. Nanosense wants Cecil Foster from Fosterich on the show. Let me know specifically what you want me to ask him about, because he's been on the show a few months ago, probably about a year ago now. I don't know if I'm ready to have him back on just yet until whatever they're working on is finalized, but let me know specifically what you want to discuss with him. And then Kish says he's been watching TransJamaica for a while. Yep, TJH has been doing its thing. It was like the savior for 2024. Between TJH and Siboney, and you guys saw that interview that Al did with Siboney's new owners last week. Anything else that we have here? You guys wanted to know about the ECL bond. We're trying to get them today, but it didn't quite work out. We do want to do something on that to give you some more information about the ECL bond. What else we have? In the Eastern Caribbean, Messi is Grace Kennedy, Lasco, Facey, all rolled into one. Absolutely. And then we have Devon saying Edufocal and Supreme Ventures University. Big announcement yesterday. Get Gordon on ASAP. All right, Captain. We'll see what we can do. What else? Lanestra wants to hear from T-Tech, especially with the new Data Protection Act coming in last December. All great ideas. Thank you guys so much. We're going to see what we can work on for next week. Kristen, take some notes. So you have some suggestions from our audience and we can work on it for next week's show. That's it for tonight. Make sure you like the video. Like the video, guys. Subscribe to the channel. Of course, share with a friend. Also subscribe to the newsletter. You can go to KalilaReynolds.com/newsletter and turn on the post notification so that you can be the first to see when everything drops. We have quite a few things coming up. This Friday, I'm actually going to be hosting a pre and post show for NCB's AGM. You know, NCB has been through quite a tumultuous year, so it should be an interesting AGM. Tune in for the pre and post show to the AGM. It will be streamed live right here on my YouTube channel as well as on Facebook, and that should be coming up around 10 a.m. I think it's like 10:15. I don't remember the exact time, but I'll get that information and I'll post it for you. So this Friday, we'll have the pre and post show for NCB's AGM. Next week will be the premiere of our new real estate show with RE/MAX called The Property Source, powered by RE/MAX. A lot of you are interested in real estate investment right now, especially, you know, with the tumult that the stock market has been going through. Everybody's turning their attention to real estate, so now is the perfect time to launch a real estate show. And that will be premiering next week, Tuesday, right here on the YouTube channel as well as on Facebook. We want to help people learn more about money so we can all get this money together. Follow me on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at Kalila Ray. Remember, that's my only account. I don't have any backup accounts, so please report scammers and impersonators whenever you see them. If you want to connect with the analysts this week, check the description box below for their contact information. And you can also visit the website, KalilaReynolds.com, for financial information you can use however you like it. Watch, listen to the podcast, or read the articles. Now tell a friend about taking stock, because investing is the new sexy. So let's make it cool to talk about money. I'm Kalila Reynolds. See you next week. What's
best money.